If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. And there's a very important question that the Lord Jesus Christ asked his disciples 2,000 years ago. And he's asking the same question of us today. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And let's begin in verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" You know, that's a question people are asking even today. Who is Jesus? What does he represent? What did he do? Is he just a historical figure? Was he just a good man? Was he a philosopher? Who is he? What is he? Well, answering that question is the difference between life and death. Eternity with God or eternity without God. It all revolves around how we answer that question. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And so he asked them. In verse 14, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But what about you? Jesus is saying that today. What about you? Who do you say I am? Well, we were declaring that this morning, weren't we? As we were worshiping God, we were declaring that Jesus, you are Lord, you are King, you are Majesty, you're everything. Hallelujah. That's really what praise and worship is all about, is it not? Is declaring the Lord Jesus Christ and His Majesty. But what about you? Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." You know, Jesus said, "No man can come unto me unless the Father draws him." No one can make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior unless the Father, through the Holy Spirit, reveals Jesus to them. It is an invitation. And the Father is inviting the world to come to know His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Savior and Lord. That's why Jesus came, to seek and save that which is lost. He came to bring us back to God. Sin separated us, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ reconciles us. We don't have to be strangers anymore. We don't have to be aliens. We do not have to be outcasts. We do not have to be cast away. We can become children of God. Born of God. Born by the Holy Spirit. A new creation where all things pass away and everything becomes brand new. The miracle of the new birth. If you want to call it, it's a fresh start. Everyone likes a second chance, third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance. And God gives us a new beginning through the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood will wipe away your entire past. It doesn't matter how many times you sinned. It could be a billion, a trillion times. The blood of Jesus will wipe it all away. And He will give you become a brand new babe in Christ. Babies don't have a past. And so when Jesus makes you a child of God, you have no past. That is a good deal. It's called being pardoned. He pardons us of all of our sin and our iniquity. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And even in this life, once you become saved, His blood continues to cleanse us and to purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So even as Christians, as we're becoming more and more like Jesus every day, as we're maturing, we will make mistakes. But his blood continues to cleanse and to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. No condemnation, no shame. He's made you worthy through his blood. He's made you worthy. He's paid the price. Hallelujah. And Satan can't touch you. He cannot touch you. He has nothing on you. Because the only authority he has is through sin. And if you got no sin, he's got nothing. He's got nothing. Hallelujah. They overcame him, talking about the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Through the blood of Jesus Christ and your testimony, confessing Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. That's how you overcome the devil. That's how you overcome the world. That's how you overcome death and hell. Is only through Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God, slain before the foundations of the world. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why he came, is to take away our sin. The thing that separated us, the thing that condemned us, the thing that was going to send us to hell for eternity. He took it away so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Woo! I think they call that the good news. Does that sound like good news to you? Does that sound like an offer that you can't refuse? You wouldn't be very smart if you did. You know, the scriptures declare that God did not make hell for man. He made it for the devil and his angels. Man goes there by their own free choice. It's not necessary. When Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he would convict the world of sin in John 16. It's sin singular, not sins. Because Jesus already paid the price for every sin that every human being, past, present, and future, will ever commit. So what is the sin that remains? The sin of rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the only sin that sends people to hell now. So what's the remedy? No, simple. Confess Jesus as Lord. Surrender your life to him. Admit you need a Savior. Hallelujah. God is good. And his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Even when we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. 1 Timothy 2:16 says, therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:31. We will boast in the Lord. There is so much to understand about who Jesus is. He is standing in heaven, his achievements in the great plan of redemption, and to know the power of his resurrection, the glory and honor that belongs to him today as he sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. Today, we're going to touch on the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. For he's my Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. So Jesus is asking us, who do you say that I am? I say, you're my Lord. And you know, that's what water baptism is. Water baptism is a declaration to the world that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. That's what water baptism is, recognizing a new life in Him. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. A familiar passage. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. This is what we did to get saved. Do we need to stop saying that? No. We can say Jesus is my Lord every day. All the time. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never, say never. Never. You will be never put to shame. Anyone who puts their trust in Jesus Christ, you will never be disappointed. It's the best decision you can make for all eternity. You will never be disappointed. You will never be ashamed. You will never regret it. Hallelujah. Woo! For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. And richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now again, that doesn't just apply to the new birth. You can call upon the name of the Lord having been a Christian for 40 years and call on Him as your healer, as your provider, as your deliverer, as your Prince of Peace, as your joy. Whatever you need, you can call upon the name of the Lord today and receive from Him fresh grace, fresh blessing. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, and from Him we receive one blessing after another. John chapter 1 says, one blessing after another. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Hebrews 5:9 says, Jesus is the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him. He is the source. The source. He is the life. He is the resurrection. It all begins with Him. Apart from Him, we have nothing. But in Him, we can do all things. Hallelujah. For it's in Him that we live and we move and we have our being. It always comes back to Jesus. Always comes back to Jesus. Whether you're witnessing, if you have a problem, it doesn't matter. Jesus. He is the source of your answer. He is the source of your healing. He's the source of your deliverance. Whatever you need, He's the source. He's got the goods. Hallelujah. When you come to Him, He'll never say it's on back order. If you need it, He'll make it for you. Fresh. Fresh. Hallelujah. Every day. Amen. He's our bread of life. Fresh. Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Salvation, the answer, is not found in religion. It's not found in politics. It's not found in money. It's not found in power or fame. There is nothing in this world that can provide salvation except the name of Jesus. Only His name. Only His name. All power and authority in heaven and earth has been invested in that name which is above every name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The name above every name. That it, demons tremble at the name of Jesus. They are scared witless when you speak the name of Jesus. It reminds them of what happened in hell when God raised them from the dead and he threw them off and conquered them and spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them through the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man, no woman, no person can come to the Father except through me. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. You might say, well, that's awfully narrow-minded. Truth is narrow. There are no grays to truth. There are no grays to truth. There is one truth, and there is one life. And his name is Jesus. One truth, one life. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:32 says, Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you happy about Jesus? Can I use this word? Are you proud of Jesus? Can I use that word? Are you proud of what he did for you and what he did for the world? Are you astonished and amazed at what he accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection and seating at the right hand of the Father? There's no God as big as our God. The Bible says all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo. I'm getting happy up here. Woo. Thank you, Lord. You know, it's one thing to accept Jesus as Lord, our Savior, excuse me. You know, Jesus is our Savior, and we thank God that he saved us from hell. But we also, he wants us to make him Lord of our life, which means we surrender our life to him. Jesus is not just fire insurance to keep you out of hell. He's much more than that. Amen? No, he's also to be Lord of our life. And if he's Lord, we consult him on decisions that we make in life. If he's Lord, we talk to him on a regular basis. We spend time with him. We study his word. Amen. We do his will. Amen. We submit to his authority. We surrender our life to his lordship because he is a good shepherd. We can trust him with our life. We can trust him with our dreams. We can trust him with our future. We can trust him with our children. We can trust him with our marriage, our life, everything. He's not only is he good, he's able. He's God. Emmanuel. God with us. Hallelujah. God with us. There is nothing he can't do. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing, omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we gave him the name Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, you are so good. You are so good. Luke 16:13, Jesus said, you know, if you call yourself my disciple, if you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a follower of me, then in Matthew 10:37, excuse me, says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Is he Lord? This is what it means for him to be Lord over your life. There is no one on earth more important to you than Jesus. Otherwise, it's an idol. It's an idol. It's an idol. Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus requires absolute devotion and commitment and surrender to him. Now, he won't take it from you. He asks it of you. If you don't want to give it to him, he'll love you anyways. But you'll be missing out. You'll be missing out on his highest and best. Now, He died for us while we were ungodly. So he gave his all before we even knew him. And so for me, in fair exchange, we should give him our life. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Trust me, he can do a better job leading your life than you can. Trust me. He can do a better job. I mean, I've tried it, and I've messed it up. Yeah, I think we all have. So what are we waiting for? Give it all to Jesus. Make him Lord today over every area, not just part of your life. Don't just give him a slice of the pie. Give him the whole pie. Give it all to him. Oh, and things will turn around and things will change so much better. Oh, thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. Do you know Jesus? He loves you with an everlasting love. And he's jealous over you. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, it says, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm concerned that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. This world is trying to capture our attention. It's trying to distract us and to get our eyes off of Jesus. We sang that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. It's scriptural. Hebrews says, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Oh, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is like the relationship between a husband and a wife. Do you know that? In Ephesians 5:31, it says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and his church. The intimacy that Jesus Christ wants to have with you is a closer bond than you have with your spouse. Really, natural marriage is meant to just be a type and shadow of the heavenly one. One of the first things that we're going to do when we get to heaven after the rapture is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And God the Father will give us officially over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and forever we will be married to God. We will be married to God. Hallelujah. We'll be married to God. Such a beautiful thing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Lord is beckoning us today with a sweet refrain. Come away, my beloved, into my presence. Come away, my beloved, into my presence. God loves spending time with you. He loves spending time with you and with me. Hallelujah. Turn with me over to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. So we're talking about Jesus as Lord, right? You know what else he is Lord over? Death and hell. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord over all. The revelation of, we're going to start with verse 1, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Jesus is coming. Ready or not, he's coming. He's coming soon. Hallelujah. Verse 4, John to the seven churches in the province of Asia, which is present-day Turkey. Grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come. And from the sevenfold Spirit of God before the throne, talking about the Holy Spirit. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn again from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him, oh, I love this, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. You know, you are new covenant priests and you offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips, praising his holy name. It is as a sweet aroma that rises up before the Father. And the Father is well pleased with your praise. And he loves you with an everlasting love. Look, verse 7. Look, he is coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. It's talking about the second advent, the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God. Woo! Who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Jesus Christ is Almighty God. Verse 9, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God. You know they couldn't kill John? Church history tells you that they tried to boil him in oil and just wouldn't die. So they figure we'll just banish him to a rock and he'll just starve and die of thirst. That's the only way you can get rid of him. Well, they didn't know that, you know, God translates people. Remember Philip? He went to the Ethiopian eunuch and then all of a sudden God took him away and he appeared, you know, 60 miles elsewhere. So God could just translate John off of that rock. Anyway, so it says, I was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. In the Spirit. You know, when we worship God, you get in the Spirit. As opposed to being in the flesh. When you're in the flesh, all your mind is thinking about is natural things. But when you begin, all you can think about is Jesus, that means you're getting in the Spirit. And then you can be able to hear from him He begins to speak to our hearts. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. Jesus is alive. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. Don't you look forward to seeing those eyes? His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. Out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Wouldn't you? He just whoop. Then he placed his hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and hell. Jesus conquered Satan, death, hell, sin, you name it. He's victorious over it. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. Because he was already king. He did it as the Son of Man so that we could be redeemed from Satan's clutches. We've been redeemed. We've been ransomed. Hebrews 2:14 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he would destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Jesus destroyed the devil, knocked his teeth out. He paralyzed him, stripped him of his authority. He is a defeated foe. He is under your feet. Luke 10:19, Jesus said, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. 1 Corinthians 15:54, when the perishable, talking about our physical bodies, our mortal bodies, have been clothed with imperishable. Are you looking forward to your new glorified body? Oh, amen. And the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Everything you do for God, it counts. It counts and will echo into eternity. Hallelujah. Jesus is master over death. We saw it with Lazarus. And when Lazarus heard that he was sick, he went to take care of him and to heal him. But then later he said to his disciples in John 11:11, it says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go there to wake him up. You know, the Bible doesn't admit death. It says the saints, they fall asleep because they'll be awakened with a new glorified body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. John 11:25. So Martha comes along and says, Lord, if you had come, my brother would have lived. And he says, your brother will rise again. Well, he says, Lord, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. But what does Jesus say? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord. Notice she said, yes, Lord. In other words, he's saying to Martha, who do you say I am? In a different way. And she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world. Right answer. Right answer, Martha. And you know the story. Jesus went to the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth, resurrected on the fourth day, even after he began to stink. It was a creative miracle. Oh, praise God. Romans 14:9. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he may be Lord of both the dead and the living. For this reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. We're talking about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is Lord of both the dead and the living. He is Lord of all. He is the Lord of glory. He is the Lord of peace. 1 Corinthians 2:7. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that has been destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. Satan totally fell into that trap. Jesus never backed down on who he claimed to be. Jesus is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God Omnipotent reigns. When we confess Jesus as Lord, we acknowledge his lordship over our life, yes, but we also acknowledge his deity, that he is the Lord of the Old Testament. He is the great I am. He is Jehovah. That is the same Jesus Christ. Satan tries to attack the lordship of Jesus and deny his sovereignty, but we know through Scripture and through his resurrection that he is Lord of all. Turn with me to John 8:24. John 8:24. Jesus is not just a good man, a philosopher, or some historical figure. No, he is the pre-incarnate God who came to earth to save us from our sins. And after he had satisfied the claims of justice in hell, he rose from the dead. And now presently is seated at the right hand of the Father, who ever liveth to make intercession for you and me. He is our advocate. He is our mediator. He is our soon coming King. He is everything that we need. He's very busy. He has a present day ministry that keeps him hopping. He is working continually. He hasn't stopped. He is the head of the body, his church. And he is working through us to do mighty and powerful things. John 8:24. This is Austin and Mai's, one of our favorite scriptures. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins. Who does Jesus claim to be? This Savior and Lord. And if you do not believe and receive him, then people will die in their sins and they will have to pay for them for eternity. But they don't have to, because Jesus already paid for them with his blood and with his life. And he proved it by his resurrection that he defeated death and hell. Verse 25 says, who are you? They asked. Just what I've been claiming all along. It's no mystery. He's the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him, I am telling the world. Then they did not understand that he was telling them about the Father. Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be. And that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me, The one who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. You know, people can get saved even before an altar call. They can just call upon the name of the Lord right now. You don't have to wait. Today is the day of salvation. Verse 31, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. Okay, why were you in Babylon for 75 years? Never mind. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. See, Jesus, he took away our sins, so he set us free. We're not prisoners anymore. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son, a child of God, belongs to it forever. That's you. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now jump down to verse 48. Then the Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? And Jesus said, I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. In other words, death will not be an eternal consequence. Yes, there's physical death, but hallelujah, spiritual life, eternal life comes into our spirit when we're born again. At this, the Jews exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham?
Yes.
He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he saw it and was glad. And they responded, you are not even 50 years old, the Jews said to him. And you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Jesus is the great I am that appeared to Moses in the bush. Tell him, I am has sent you. That's Jesus talking. The great I am. Ooh, I get goosebumps when I just read this. Ah. Ooh. Oh, Jesus, you're so awesome. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. John 5:17. Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. He is equal with God the Father. And even when Jesus stood before the high priest at his trial, before his crucifixion, the high priest Caiaphas said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, it is as you say, Jesus replied. But I tell all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Woo! And the high priest tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. No, he has spoken the truth. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Lift up all you heads, O gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong, almighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. In Revelation, we see the fulfillment of this. In Revelation 19:11, it says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white linen and white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Woo. Jesus came as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion. Woo. Oh, he's coming back as a lion. He is awesome. He's the Lord of peace. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every ways. The Lord be with all of you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. He is the Lord of peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. He is a good shepherd. Hallelujah. Acts 10:36, you know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what had happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Hallelujah. From the fullness of Jesus. Now, Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is magnificent. And we just talked all about how awesome he is. But all that he is in you. As he is, so are you in this world. He is the head and you're the body. You are one with him in spirit. You are heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. You are joint with him. You are connected to him. So all that power, all that glory, all that magic flows through you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He shares it all with you. He shares it all with you. He did it all for you. Do you get it? He didn't have to do all that for himself. He already had it. He did it for you. You're the reason. Whew. Colossians 2:9 says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you could just stop there and say, hallelujah. But what does it say? And you have been given fullness in Christ. He is the head over every power and authority. You have fullness in him. Everything he is in you through the Holy Spirit. Woo! Praise God. John 1:16, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 17:13, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have, what? The full measure of my joy within them. Do you want the full measure of the joy of Jesus Christ in you? You don't have to ask for it. You already got it. You got it. The full measure of His joy. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. I got to read that again. I am now coming to you. This is John 17:13. But I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that you may have the full measure of my joy within you. Romans 15:29. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. Jesus is the full measure. His measure is in us, so that we can go into the world in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. You are a jar that's full of the glory. You have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's the Spirit of glory and of God is within you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Ooh. Okay, Ooh. Okay, Acts. Lord, help. Let me finish this, Lord, because there's some more good stuff here. Woo. Oh, Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants. This is the church after Peter and John were released and they came together in one accord. And it says, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The early church was born in fire, and the church that's going to come to meet the Lord in the air will be no less. Oh, the latter rain is going to be bigger than the former. Oh, it's going to come with power and glory and signs and wonders. And it won't just be in Jerusalem. It'll be global. The whole earth will see it. They will see the glory of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But it will be done through the name of Jesus. Acts 14, 27-28. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how He opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. The ministry of Jesus Christ continues today through His church, through His body. And God is going to do it through you. It's Jesus' name and the faith that comes through that name that brings complete healing. Peter said, why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man whole? Talking about the crippled man at the gate beautiful in Acts 3. No, it's Jesus' name. The power is in the name. He's given us His name. These signs will follow them who believe. In my name, you will drive out demons. You will speak in new tongues. If you eat or drink any deadly thing, it will harm you. If you pick up sticks, it will harm you. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's in the name. There's no other name under heaven by which you will be saved. It's the name of Jesus. That's where the power is. And that's what you got. You've got the name. And God will do it through you. And it's not about your power or your godliness. He's going to work through you because you're His body. Because the power is in His name. Let the name do the work. Let the name get him saved. Let the name get him healed. Let the name get him delivered. Whatever it is, the name will do it. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Acts 15:4 says, when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Are you seeing it? How many times? The scripture says God did it through them. He wants to do it through you. But you have to make Him your Lord. Make Him your Lord over every area of your life. And He will do it through you. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling them the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. Last verse, hallelujah, Acts 19:11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. Jesus said in John 14, the works that I did, you'll do, and even greater works because I go to the Father. His ministry is to continue in the earth. It's not to skip a beat. It's to continue. Actually, it's to be magnified and increased throughout the whole world. Oh, hallelujah. So in conclusion, so Jesus is asking the same question of us today. Who do you say that I am? I say that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I say that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, conqueror of death and hell, sin and Satan. I say that you are the resurrection and the life, the great I am, the Son of God, the Word of God, the Prince of Peace, wonderful Counselor and mighty God. I say that you are my great high priest. You are my advocate. You are my mediator. You are before the throne of God. I say that you are the head of the body, your church. And I say that you are coming back soon to take us away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we love you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. It's, as Pastor Delson so eloquently says so many times, it's all about Jesus. And Holy Spirit, you are here in the earth for that sole purpose, to lift up Jesus. And when Jesus be lifted up, you would draw all people unto him. So if there is anybody here, the sound of my voice, you have not confessed Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Life is short, and there is an eternity. And there is the reality of heaven and hell. But remember, God didn't make hell for you or for me. He made it for the devil and his angels. You don't have to go there. You can spend eternity with him here in this life and the life to come. So what say you? If there's anybody here that wants to make Jesus their Lord and Savior, please raise up your hand. Remember, Jesus said, any man who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father. Are you willing to acknowledge him right now as your Lord and Savior? Thank you, Jesus. And for the rest of us who are children of God, you made Jesus your Lord and Savior. And maybe he's not Lord over every area of your life. He wants to be. And the reason he wants to be is because he wants to take care of you and because he loves you. So right now, just open up every door, every window to your heart and say, Jesus, come on in. Fellowship with me. Be with me. I want to be with you. And I give you all my cares, all my worries. I cast them onto you. I give you my life. I give you my family, my children, my dreams, my past, present, and future. Jesus, be Lord of all, over all my life. Not just part of it, but all of it. I surrender now. I dedicate myself afresh and new to you. Thank you, Jesus. As my shepherd, take me by the hand through life. You're never alone, never unloved. He loves you dearly. How great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. 1 John 3 says. Oh, Father. God has such big plans for you. Don't belittle who you are. You are in Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I live for him. And you're in him. So his fullness is in you. So walk big and strong in him. Boast in him. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Know who he is in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Meditate on that. Feed on that. Let that become so real in your heart so that you can reign in life through Christ Jesus and be the salt and light to the world that he's called us to be. So that God can work through you signs and wonders. So that men are without excuse. That Jesus is Lord. Amen. God is so good. Remember during worship when the Holy Spirit directed us to say, hey, you can put your hand up and say, whatever you need, you can receive it. You can receive it wherever you are. I don't feel led to lay hands on anyone. You know, you receive. He's here. The Lord of glory is here. You don't have to even just touch the edge of his garment. Just go up and give him a big hug. Hallelujah. You have access to the throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy and help in your time of need. You know? Hallelujah. Help yourself to the blessing and the grace of God. It's for you. Remember, Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He did it for you. Because he loves you. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. You, Lord, you get all the glory. Amen. God bless you.